Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 25 and 26, we see a very insightful passage dealing with justification. Let's read it together. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 25 and 26. The Bible says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Let me read it one more time, and then we'll examine the passage. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Now, as we preach this text, keep in mind that there is a vast difference between your true justification before the Lord and your perceived justification before men. You are often much more concerned about how you're perceived before men than how you are about how you really stand before God. And that's a preeminent problem with men. You get worried about your reputation and you don't think about how you truly stand before God. And that's because men here will accuse you, or they'll say bad things about you, they'll write you up on the internet, or they'll blackball you amongst their friends. You get concerned about that. You manage your reputation. But oftentimes what happens is then you quit concerning yourself with how you truly stand before God, and the next thing you know, you're managing your reputation and your character has fallen all to pieces. You're not justified. So today we want to look at this passage of Scripture and follow what it says. This text says, thou mayest be justified. You see that in the verse 26? Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Well, thou mayest be justified when several things happen. First of all, when you put the Lord in remembrance. Notice what he says in verse 26, put me in remembrance. You see, justification is something between you and the Lord. If you are justified before the Lord, then it doesn't really make any difference whether men are persuaded that you're justified or not. And Paul was justified before God, but when he went to Jerusalem, they called him a troublemaker, the seditionist. They said he was in the temple with Gentiles. Of course, all that was a false report, and they tried to have him killed. Well, they weren't persuaded about his justification, but the Lord was. You know, and so when you are justified with the Lord, the truth is you're reconciled to him. Now, the trouble is that most people are only concerned about their justification before men. And so they spend their time keeping their reputation up before men, and they're not aware that while men may judge them, these same men can't justify them. You know, if Paul had tried to justify himself before the Jewish audience, he would have begun to compromise some things about what he believed in order to appease them and to calm them down. He would have said, you know what, it is okay. You should circumcise your male children. They'd say, you know what, you're right. You should keep the law of Moses, if you truly want to call yourself a Christian. And by doing that, they if they had really believed him, they might have left him alone. But boy, he would have been in hot water with God, because those things weren't true as far as the Lord is concerned. So these men that would have justified Paul, they didn't, but they would have, are not men that could have justified him before God. Only the Lord can do that. So anytime you're facing a question about your character, or you're facing a question about your adherence to the law, or you're facing a question about, you know, your stand on the Bible or any such matter, always remember the Lord first and make sure how you stand before him. Always. In other words, when somebody comes after you accusing you of something, or you've got to stand and answer for yourself, listen, you get with God, you prayerfully consider where you stand with God. Listen, if you're guilty with God, then it doesn't make any difference. If you can profess your innocence before men, if you're innocent with God, then it doesn't, sometimes it really doesn't make any difference whether you can profess that innocence before men. The key is to be justified before the Lord. The key is to put the Lord in remembrance. Let me give you an example from the scripture. The Pharisees, who justified themselves before men, were an abomination in the sight of God. Look in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And the Lord, I mean, he doesn't hold back any punches here. He deals very directly with the problem and lays it right out for you where you couldn't miss it. Luke chapter 16, look at verse 15. The context is the Pharisees, who were covetous. And the verse 15 says, he said unto them, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So these Pharisees, who justified themselves before men, were abomination in the sight of God. He knew they were wicked, but they professed by their outward appearance and their conduct to be very righteous men. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, was a man who was despised and rejected of men, yet he, not they, he was justified before God. You remember from Isaiah chapter 53, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is despised and rejected of men. So his Facebook page would not have had a whole lot of likes on it. He would have had a lot of thumbs down. He was despised and he was rejected of men. But Jesus Christ didn't spend time trying to make his reputation look good in the sight of men, his profile, if you will. He wasn't concerned about that. He was concerned about one thing, and that is doing those things that pleased his Father and living his life in such a way that he was justified before God. Now, if you'll look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, you'll see it. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, that's Jesus Christ, watch it, justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. But notice he was justified in the Spirit. So he was despised and rejected of men, but he was justified before God. And he didn't go and deal with all the negative comments about himself in social networking in order to try to improve his reputation or his standing among men. He didn't concern himself with that. Why? He put the Lord in remembrance and realized the only person who satisfies God Almighty. And now that's the way you need to be. When you consider justification, remember it is between you and the Lord, whether other people like it or not, and you keep the Lord in remembrance. Always consider his knowledge of the truth of your character. Here's the second thing. He said, put me in remembrance. Okay, here's the second thing. Thou mayest be justified when you plead together with the Lord. Look again in Isaiah chapter 43 at verse 26. He says, put me in remembrance. And then he says, let us plead together. Let us plead together. In other words, when you stand to plead your case, you want to make sure that the Lord is standing there with you. If you say to somebody, I'm not a criminal, and you're trying to repair your public image, and truly the Lord knows you to be a criminal, then you can't plead together with the Lord before men that you are not what you really are. Won't work. I'm thinking about court, for instance. When a man pleads before the judge, he often pleads his innocence when in truth he's guilty. Now, it's his constitutional right to place the burden of proof on the prosecutor. You know, but as God is his witness, if he wants the Lord to help him, if he wants to be justified before the Lord, he must plead together with the Lord. That is, he must plead truthfully. He must plead as the Lord knows. Now, in truth, the Lord can extend him mercy. In truth, the Lord can extend him mercy. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. It's very clear. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So, you know, you want mercy before God, you've got to be truthful with the Lord. And that's the way a lot of people are not. But this man that I'm describing in court must plead truthfully. In truth, the Lord can extend him mercy. I've seen this many times. Many times when a person is honest with the judge is lenient with the defendant, and the defendant is instructed by the judge in a way that keeps him out of trouble in the future. Now, this point we're making here about pleading with the Lord, I'm using court as an illustration, but that's not the only point here. I'm reminded many years ago, a young friend of mine got in trouble and he was arrested. And I was living in Beeville at the time, and when he was arrested, he was incarcerated. And his family called me, and I knew his family well, and I knew the boy. And so I contacted the sheriff, and I went down to the jail and began to visit with the boy, and we were able to successfully have him released from jail. And then later, the fellow had to come back, and he had to stand before the judge. And I remember the judge before he stood, Judge Yeager, great judge, and a kind of man that could really deal it out to you in proportion to the way it needed to be dealt out. And this young man was very humble before the judge, and he was very honest with the judge. And the judge answered in behalf of the court in a way that was very beneficial to the defendant, but at the same time, very beneficial to the law. And he instructed this young man, and truly the young man followed the judge's order and kept himself out of trouble. This worked very well in the administration of justice, but I believe a great part of it had to do with the fact that the young man came and was truthful and honest with the judge. Now, when it comes to justification, you need to plead together with the Lord and admit your true state before him. Let me give you an example. I've been using the case of court, and I didn't want to limit our application to that. So let me give you something that really puts this in better perspective. Here's here in Luke chapter 18, in verses 10 to 14, here's two men, okay? Two men in Luke chapter 18, verses 10 to 14. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now watch this. Watch the wording of the verse in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Our text in Isaiah chapter 43 about having your sins blotted out and being justified before God. You know what it says? Let us plead together. Let us plead together. This man didn't plead together. He was speaking with himself, praying thus with himself. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. That's not true. The Lord knows this man to be as other men are. But because he's concerned to build up a reputation before the Lord, he has to lie about his current state. He can't admit his true state before the Lord. So he makes himself out to be better than he really is. He says, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Truth of the matter is, he was just as this publican. He went on to say, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And verse 13 says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. In other words, he knew in humility the true state that he had before the Lord. He was a sinner. So he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 14, I tell you, this man, talking about the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So why did the publican, who was a sinner, get justified? Because he presented himself truthfully. He pled together with the Lord. He and the Lord were in agreement about his true condition, and the Lord justified him. Whereas the Pharisee built himself up and exalted himself and made himself look to be better than he really was. And I'm going to tell you, when you want to be justified before the Lord, you can't spend all of your time running around trying to make people believe that you're better than you really are. You need to be who you are, a sinner before God. You need to put the Lord in remembrance and remember that your justification before him is the only thing that counts. And you need to plead together with the Lord so that when you make a statement about yourself, God can bear witness with your statement that it is absolutely true and not just something that's stated in order to persuade the crowd. All right, now here's the next thing. As this text said, thou mayest be justified when you have your sins blotted out by the Lord. Look what he says in verse 25 of Isaiah chapter 43. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Now notice, it's interesting, but he says, I blot these sins out for my sake. In other words, he didn't blot them out for our sake so much. I mean, they need to be blotted out for our sake that we might be saved, but he blots them out for his sake so that he won't remember them anymore. And if he doesn't remember anymore, he won't hold them against us and we can pass his judgment and stand before him. So ultimately, when it comes to justification, you need to be clear with the Lord. You need to reconcile truthfully with the Lord before you ever consider your justification before men. Do you understand that? Always reconcile truthfully with the Lord before you consider your justification before men. When a guy gets caught and he's got to answer in court, man, he just spends his entire time reeling over the accusation and trying to find a way to weasel himself out of it. Go deal with God. Okay? Listen. When you come to church, for instance, and you pretend to be all pious before men, you're never going to reconcile with God until you declare your wickedness truthfully to him. Notice what he says here again in verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Watch it. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. You've got to declare honestly before the Lord, look, Lord, I am as it appears. I am a sinner. I am a whatever. Fill in the blank. The sins are defined for you in the Bible there. I am as it says. You declare your wickedness truthfully before the Lord and to the Lord and turn from your sin. See, that's what you need to do. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, we've quoted the verse before and we're going to quote it many times hence. Listen, Proverbs 28, 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You can't do it. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And this is what happens when you confess to the Lord. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, listen, you're already forgiven when you get saved. I understand that. Everything's been taken care of at Calvary. I understand that. But when you confess your sins, you are agreeing with God. You're pleading together with the Lord. You are agreeing with the Lord that this thing you did is, in fact, a sin. And your intention is not to cover it, but to confess it and forsake it. And I'll tell you what, the Lord deals mercifully with such. Now listen, if you think that you are justified before God just because you have men believing that you're living in a right relationship with God, you are dead wrong. There are religions all over this world who have devised rituals to give men the impression that by keeping these rituals, they're justified with God and have hope of an afterlife with Him. Recently, we were in the Philippines, had a great, great, great missions trip over there. Had the opportunity to visit with the neighbor of the missionary that we were visiting. And this neighbor is a Jehovah's Witness. A Jehovah's Witness. And he has fulfilled many of the rituals that have been given to him by the Jehovah's Witness. And he now has the distinct impression and belief that he is going to spend eternity on this earth in a kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, or of God, I guess I should say, and that he's guaranteed now to have this afterlife with the Lord here on earth because he's doing these things and doesn't have any intention of not doing the things that the Jehovah's Witnesses said. And I'm going to tell you something. Nothing could be further from the truth. This man is not going to spend an eternity in an afterlife with the Lord, in his kingdom on this earth. Having followed the dictates of the religion that he's been given, he has justified himself, and he is going to spend eternity in hell until he humbles himself and receives the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, I'm not saying that to be judgmental. The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. I understand that the judgment wherewith I judge is the same judgment that's going to be leveled against me. My justification is complete in Jesus Christ because I've trusted the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary to blot out my transgressions and sins. And I'm standing here as a child of God, not as a witness or a Mormon or some other church where I have done what they said to do, keep the sacraments, you know, do the baptism, do the communion, do the confession, do the catechism and all that stuff. No. That is a way for men to feel justified before God by having done something that man said to do. And all you're doing is justifying yourself before men. On the other hand, when your sins are blotted out by the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are truly justified with God. And that, my friend, is what really counts. That's what really counts. Listen, when you have your sins blotted out by the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on Calvary is substituted for your sins and you are standing in the righteousness of God Almighty, then and only then you're justified. And let me tell you something. When that justification comes, then you walk in that justification. So let's wrap it up this way. If you believe that you're justified with God because you have fulfilled some religious requirements of men, you are not justified. You cannot be justified by the works of the law, cannot be justified by these religious rituals. You can only be justified by faith in Christ. Galatians chapter 2. Very carefully, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So you believe you're justified with God because you fulfill some religious requirements of men, you are not justified. Here's another one. If you believe you are justified because you have convinced men that you are just, you're not justified with God. Stand there and profess your goodness, to stand there and say, oh, I do this and I do that and I'm good and all those other kind of things and I'm not the kind of person you think I am and blah, blah, blah. You know, you're not justified with God. I really believe there are a lot of young people that go to church and they are involved in secret sin, pornography, sex, drugs, alcohol, other things like that. Their parents don't know about it. The preacher doesn't know about it. But they come in pious. They've justified themselves. They've convinced men that they are just. And I'm going to tell you something. In that case, you are not justified with God. You are only justified when you are in Christ. So what I say is this, according to the text, be justified with God first and then live your life in accordance with your justification. So, whenever you're faced with any challenge of your character, any challenge of the law, any challenge of your belief as a Christian, first of all, put the Lord in remembrance and make sure you're in the right standing with God Almighty. That's the first thing. Second thing, plead together with the Lord. If you cannot in good conscience stand and say the things you're saying, if you knew that Jesus Christ was standing right there next to you to verify the truth of what you're saying, then I'm going to tell you something. You are not justified. This idea that you're going to promote your image on your social network and make yourself out before the public to look better than you really are, like something that you're not. Okay, I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You are not pleading together with the Lord. You are justifying yourself before men, and it's going to create problems for you in eternity. Here's when you're justified, when you have your sins blotted out by the Lord. The only person I know on earth, in this universe, that can blot out your sins is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you receive him as your Savior, he comes into your life. He gives you his righteousness, and he takes away your sin. And those sins are blotted out by the Lord, and he chooses then to remember them no more. And then when that happens, what you need to do is you need to live your life in accordance with the justification that you have received. You say, well, what is justification? Very simply. It is the state of being proclaimed not guilty by the Lord. Not guilty. You've already been tried. You've been found not guilty. You are heaven bound. Please remember these things, how often men get messed up on this doctrine because they're not justified with God. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.